Attention, you're listening to the Todd Huff Radio Show, America's home for conservative, not bitter talk radio. Be advised, the content of this program has been documented to prevent and even cure liberalism, and listening may cause you to lean to the right. Here's your conservative, but not bitter host, Todd Huff.
Conservative, not bitter indeed, my friends. You have tuned in to America's home for conservative, not bitter talk. I am your host, the one, the only, Todd Huff. If you want to be part of today's conversation, I welcome you to email your thoughts and questions, your adoration and your praise, todd@toddhuffshow.com. You can also text 317-210-2830. It is good to be here. Here we are getting through another busy week, moving headlong through the winter months, moving quickly towards spring, which of course is one of the best times of the year, in spite of everything, in spite of everything going on. We have an absolute unmitigated disaster on our hands and in every conceivable way. You know, I think back to the paranoia, the hysteria, the panic, the hand-wringing, the demonization, and everything else that happened during the years, well, not just the years President Trump was in office, the year or two that he was campaigning, the years, of course, he was in office, the years he's been out of office. We've been told that every bad thing should be traced back to President Donald J. Trump. We've been told that everything was hunky-dory apple pie until President Trump came onto the scene, that everything was well under control by these professional lifetime politicians, of which includes Joseph Biden, who is now just recently would have celebrated his 50th year, 50th, half a century in Washington, D.C. It is absolutely amazing to think about. You know, this nation is what, almost 240 some years old, approaching roughly, we'll say 250 for round numbers. He has been in D.C. Think about this, for over 20% of this nation's existence. 50 years, let's just round up to 250 years since the signing of the Declaration of Independence in 1776. Let's just round up and say that that's 250 years. I'm giving a few additional years to make it even a smaller percentage. Biden has been there 50 of the 250 year, roughly years. 20% of this nation's history, yet bears no responsibility. Bears no responsibility whatsoever. And every single place that we turn today, the world is on metaphorical fire, or for the folks that have been victimized by the disastrous train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, literal fire. Train derailments everywhere, UFOs being shot down left and right, spy balloons being shot down. Biden out there telling us that those latest UFOs that were shot down were not part of a Chinese spy program. You've got people out there talking about, it is everywhere. It is the war in, you know, Ukraine. It is the debacle that was Afghanistan, where we abandoned, at one point in time, I believe reports said 15,000 people of our own people at one point in time were abandoned by the U.S. government, by Biden's government. And look, I don't want to say that everything that happens that's bad is because of Biden, but there are certainly without any question whatsoever, a whole host of things that are significantly worse that can be tied back to changes in policy, changes in governing the ideology behind government, the role of government, which of course is much different with this group of leftists running this nation today than it was under President Trump. And by every imaginable metric, this nation is much, much worse off. Inflation, dramatically higher. In fact, we've had inflation. Now, you got to be careful how you say this. Biden's out there bragging, pounding his chest, talking about how inflation's coming down. All he means, and this is important to talk to understand, he's not, well, he might claim that inflation is technically coming down. It is not coming down. The rate of increase is not as extreme as it was. It would be like this, my friends. If you're, say you're an individual, let's just use simple math. Let's say you started off weighing 200 pounds and you went on a no exercise, eat all you want diet, basically. And you did this for some period of time. And let's just say for simple math, you began to gain 5 pounds every month. So you go from 200 to 205 to 210 to 215, trying to keep it simple for the Bernie Sanders mathematicians that may be tuning in today. Don't worry, I love you and I welcome you to the program. Just having a little harmless, playful fun. But you know, there's truth tucked away in that. Math is not the strong suit of the socialist movement. But anyway, so you begin to add 5 pounds, 200, 205, 210, 215, you get the idea. And so you're increasing, you're inflating, literally, I guess, in that particular example. And Biden wants you to think that it's a good sign if instead of gaining 5 pounds every month, you gain 3. So you go to 205, 210, 215, then you reduce the rate of inflation, the rate at which you gain weight, and you go from 215 to 218. And so they say, well, we really lost 2 pounds because we normally gain 5, we only gained 3, so we've lost 2 more than we expected to gain. This is the backwards way that governments think. And then from 218 to 221, you get the idea. But there's not a decrease in the overall, inflation has not stopped. Now, to one degree, inflation is part, like it or not, is part of our system of economics. But it's usually in the 1 to 2% range, not at the 5, 6, 8, close to 10% range that we've seen under this administration. Keep in mind that the rate of inflation that we're experiencing right now is higher than what is to be expected on average, and yet it is framed as some sort of a massive victory. Then we got Biden out there talking in the State of the Union address, and really any time that he goes out in front of the media, in front of the public, which, of course, is limited because they know what they get when Joe Biden goes in front of the media. They get an unmitigated disaster. They barely want him to go out there with a teleprompter, let alone with nothing but his sheer intellect to keep up with the Q&A that he would be facing from a media. Of course, that media is biased as well. That's a whole other topic for another day. So they want him to succeed. They don't ask him the tough questions when there are the awkward pauses and the nonsensical answers. The media oftentimes almost out of, I guess you could say, sympathy, or maybe you could just say out of collusion, a desire for the same outcome, will bail the guy out. But there's not this robust exchange with the media like we saw under President Donald J. Trump. That's just not the case. So, but Biden will come out every once in a while, as he did with the State of the Union address, waited until Punxsutawney Phil decided to tell us there was going to be a few more weeks of, 6 more weeks of winter, in fact. That's when Biden comes out. I think Biden's schedule may be about as frequent as Punxsutawney Phil's. But nonetheless, Biden goes out there and starts bragging about economic numbers. She starts bragging about reducing deficits, which is not what's happening. What they're doing is they're comparing today's expenses, if you will, today's government, the money that government is spending, the federal government is spending, they're comparing it to COVID expenditures. Remember when the government told everybody to stay home, to mask up? My governor here in Indiana said to hunker down, Hoosiers, as he went out and toured the state, going to state parks, telling the rest of us we could not go. Heaven help me if he runs for senator. That's another discussion again. Eric Holcomb, the governor here, has no business being Indiana's senator. Hope that doesn't happen. Anyway, so they're comparing, Biden likes to compare today's numbers against COVID. Because why? Because it's the expenses were incredibly high back then because the government shut everything down and then started paying people to not work. Then, on top of that, he likes to say how many more jobs he's created from the moment in time that the government told everyone not to work. So their baseline for success is a complete and total shutdown of the government. Again, so you got inflation, you got the economics, you've got China flying spy balloons, UFOs, which I don't know if you saw this. I tweeted this out yesterday. I retweeted it, I should say. By the way, if you get on Twitter, we're going to be more active on these platforms as we grow. But Emerald Robinson, who's she with? Is she with, she used to be Newsmax and OAN White House correspondent. But now she's a host at frankspeech.com. But she's out here tweeting. She's out here tweeting yesterday, breaking news, top defense expert tells her that the, quote, UFO shot down over Alaska by American F-22, that's the F-22 Raptor, which is an incredible aircraft, by the way. That individual, top defense expert, whom she does not name, says that that was a Chinese, quote, exotic vehicle that is hypersonic and might even have anti-gravity technology. Sounds like a Michael Scott request for the Goodbye Toby episode of The Office. Anyway, these are serious things, by the way. We just try to interject a little bit of lightheartedness to keep things... laughter can help us to not want to completely shut down over all the mess that we have here. Anyway, she then tweets out that these vehicles can travel at Mach 5. So then there was another, she tweets this out, second Chinese, quote, exotic vehicle, in parentheses, drone, that was shot down over Lake Huron. You will remember this, one of the Great Lakes. It was shot down last week, I believe, whenever this was. The Pentagon, she says, is very tight-lipped about retrieval of this vehicle. Sources tell me, she tweets, the CCP might be testing American military response to sudden incursions into our airspace. Mach 5 is incredibly fast. In fact, I was asking, I was talking about this with someone today. I'm a bit, my son wants to be a pilot. In fact, he has a flight simulator and all this kind of stuff. The kid knows more about flying than I could ever imagine to know myself. But I have a great interest in flying. I have a kind of a love-hate relationship with it. It's an amazing way to travel. The view is just spectacular. It is such a, I don't know, just an awesome thing to be able to experience. But at the same time, I have my moments when I'm really not too comfortable being up there on a cylindrical tube flying around at 40,000 feet or whatever. Anyway, but I like aircraft, and just comparing, Mach 5 is incredibly fast. I'm looking here right now, how fast was the SR-71? If you remember that was the Blackbird spy plane that could fly at high altitudes. This thing flew at 2,200 miles per hour, which is Mach 3.2. Mach 3.2 flies at altitudes of up to 85,000 feet. This was the jet that I believe when it would land, it would be red hot. It's a really cool, really cool aircraft. Anyway, that I believe was the fastest one that we had. Mach 3.2 is what it flew. According to Emerald Robinson here on Twitter, per her source, a top defense expert, she says, claims that the drone, the UFO that we shot down over Lake Huron, could travel at speeds of up to Mach 5, which is crazy to think about. So we have these things. We have incursions. We have Russia invading Ukraine, which, as much as the left wants to tell you that did not, the media and the left want to tell you that that was because Trump was buddies of Putin with Putin and he winked at him and said, go do whatever you want. But that didn't happen on Trump's watch. That happened on Biden's watch. And you look at all the mess and the smoke, meaning the metaphorical smoke, where there's smoke, there's fire, coming out of Ukraine, and Hunter Biden and all this stuff, other politicians who have connections there, business dealing. I mean, it is just filthy messy. Now, that's not all on Biden. I'm just painting a picture of a disaster, because that's what we have. We have an unmitigated disaster in virtually every category. The people who promise us that they can control the level of the seas, that can bring them down. I remember listening to Obama when he won the presidency back in 2008, telling the crowd in Chicago, this is the moment, with the God-like reverb. I should kick that on my microphone whenever I share clips of what he said in that speech. The reverb in the microphone, making it sound like he was even godlike. But this was the moment, he said, that the sea levels were going to begin to recede. It's as though nature and planet Earth know that the left is in charge and they can return to normal and stop doing things that are caused, I guess, by Republicans and Republican policies. That's the narrative and the silliness of this whole thing. But all these things that they told us that they were going to, that either Trump was going to cause or they were going to prevent from happening, some combination of those things, it is the exact opposite. We have war and rumors of war all over the place. You've got China sending balloons, other what we're calling UFOs, probably drones and so forth, into our airspace. We've got trains being derailed, chemical spills happening, trains derailing lots of places, although that does happen. You know, some of these things we think happen more because we pay attention, but it doesn't mean that there's not a catalyst for the reason that gets our attention, which the catalyst for paying attention to the train derailments has to be the East Palestine, Ohio chemical spill from a train derailment. So just mess after mess after mess everywhere. And I pose this question as I go to the break. What is it going to take? What is it going to take for the average American to wake up and say, enough? I know that I'm preaching to the choir this morning in this audience. Now, we have listeners from all over the political spectrum, but most of you I know are conservative, libertarian, limited government types, vote Republican, sometimes holding your nose to vote Republican. You're tired of the growth of government, the promises of government, the scope of government, the bureaucracy of government, high taxes, infringement upon freedom. On top of that, the government never produced the results they tell us they're going to produce. And here we are. Here we are. And many of you in this audience are just dumbfounded at how many absolutely atrocious and terrible things are happening that a mere 2 years ago did not happen. War not happening. And now this is rampant. It is in every particular area of government. It doesn't matter if it falls under the purview of the Department of Defense, the Department of Education, which is a department, by the way, that needs to be completely done away with. There's a bill that's being introduced to do that very thing. Again, it's not going to pass with the Democrat Senate, but it is exactly the sort of thing that needs to be done. We got this transgender nonsense. We got the critical race theory nonsense that's being peddled upon our children. It is madness everywhere we look. And decent, average, everyday people, hardworking people, good people are asking themselves, what on earth is it going to take? And you shudder at some point when you ask that question, but you shudder to think what it's going to take to get the attention of some Americans. Because if this doesn't do it, where do we go from here? So I want to talk about that question, get into other things happening, including some good news out there as well, which of course exists. I got a story to tell you. That's something you're going to enjoy. I got a story to tell you as we get ready to leave on the Truth Tour, as we travel around the country. I'll tell you about it later, but there's a story that you're going to enjoy hearing, I think, maybe at my expense, but that's okay. Timeout's in order, though, my friends. You're listening here to Conservative, Not Bitter Talk. I am your host, the one, the only Todd Huff, back in just a minute. Welcome back, my friends. This is going to be a shorter segment, which again is my fault. I did not adhere to my New Year's resolution, which is to keep the show on schedule a little bit better. But how do we address that question? How do we handle the question that says, what is it going to take for the average American to wake up and smell the coffee, to wake up and smell the roses, to be living in reality, to be, as Rush Limbaugh used to say, living in Realville, not in some fantasy world, not in some leftist made-up utopia, instead living with both feet planted firmly in reality. What is it going to take? Because it's taken a lot to get to this point. A lot of things have happened, and people are still not convinced. They're still full of hate for Trump. Again, as I said last segment, he was the one that we were told was going to lead us into all of these terrible situations and so forth. None of that happened. It happened on Biden's watch. And it happens because of ideas and because of worldview and because of policies. That's what causes this. America, my friends, I've said this countless times. America is great, not because it doesn't come through our DNA. Yes, we have people that have walked before us who have accomplished great things. And I don't want to name them because you, of course, inevitably leave someone out. But you have people that have gone before. We all have this. People that have gone before us, accomplished great things, changed the world as we know it, created developments that improved lives, saved lives, changed hearts, get people to accept reality and truth or whatever. That people that have made a major impact on the world that we live in, that we benefit from. A lot of those folks, obviously, all are not American, but there are a ton of people who are American that have done that because the system gives us the opportunity to do that. We have freedom and liberty to take risks, to do those things that we desire. We're not subjects of the state. We're free individuals made in the image of God who have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, along with a whole host of other rights that are given to us by our Creator. And our system of government is built upon the idea that's paramount. The founders, I've said this before too, when the founders established this country, they could have done what most every other group who became, the group in power after overthrowing a government or breaking free from some oppressor or whatever. They could have done what happened countless times throughout history, which was basically assign themselves as the new dictators, the new group that would tell the rest of us subjects and serfs how to live. But they did not do that. Now, we've been through this a lot. They, of course, made a lot of mistakes, but they made some really bad mistakes as it pertained to slavery. So this is not a universal past, but the things that they acknowledged, right, in the Declaration, that our rights come from God, not from man, not from government, and that among those are life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, the right to have our to follow our conscience, to have the freedom to worship the God of our choice, or to not worship any God at all. The right to say what we think, the right to congregate and assemble with those with whom we want to assemble with and, you know, try to work together with for political purposes or whatever. To speak out against the government when it does things that displease us, to share ideas, to even be provocative in our speech so that we can communicate and prevent the expansion of ideas that are deadly and dangerous. And so we live in that today. And if we drift too far from that idea, if we change the, if it's the idea, if I'm right, and if you're right, those that agree with me, if America was great because of the idea, if we drift far away from that, at some point, America will cease to be that, will cease to be great because America changed that foundational idea, those foundational ideas and principles. We stray too far by definition if we were made, if this is a special place because of ideas, it stands to reason and is logically sound that if we deviate from those ideas, the thing that was built, this wonderful nation that was built, is at risk of great risk. At some point, it's at great risk of collapse. At some point, it's not even at risk of collapse. It's all but certain that it will collapse. And so we have to understand why, we have to try to at least think through why people refuse to accept it, why people refuse to recognize that we're headed down a very, very difficult road. Now, I say all these things, I am incredibly hopeful. That's why we do the Truth Tour. That's why we do the show. Truth is on our side. Truth is on our side. Or maybe I should say we're on truth's side. That's probably the better way of saying it. We just need to communicate it. We just need to be ambassadors for this. These ideas matter tremendously. I'm hopeful, but I also want to properly paint the enemy that we face. I don't mean your fellow Americans. I just mean that idea that has to be stopped. And those who are advancing that idea have to be politically stopped, not elected to office. We have to have people that do not believe those things from holding political power. Things that are believed by today's Democrat Party, by the radical left. That's not a complete thumbs up to every Republican. It's just at this point in time, incredibly hard to even think about a Democrat because they're so far. They're run by leftists today. People that hate this country. And the truth is, the average rank and file Democrat doesn't hate this country. It's a fringe that does. But their party is being run by people who do. Their party is being run by people that want to remake this nation into something totally different. Something that resembles much more closely the Soviet Union or some communist, socialist, so-called utopian hellhole is what it turns into. Anyway, gotta take a break, my friends. Talk about this more on the other side of the break, back in just a minute. Welcome back, my friends. As I shared last segment, I am incredibly optimistic. We have work to do. There are, seemingly, depending on perspective. Now, you have to understand, I am borderline an eternal optimist. You know, we all have certain tendencies. I don't want to paint the picture that I'm, not realistic, but I have a lot of hope. And I honestly, the hope comes from my faith in Jesus. And also just looking at history. I know eventually there's going to be a battle where, it's going to turn south. It's going to turn south and get really, really bad on planet Earth, in this country, everywhere. But that doesn't mean it has to be this time, right? That doesn't mean that. I feel like we have opportunity. We have a chance. So long as we have breath in our lungs, we have an opportunity to change things. There's nothing written that says what happened yesterday has to happen today. Now, we certainly have to have the same political leadership. We certainly have the same problems that we're facing, socially, culturally, within churches, wherever, all over the place. We still have the same problems, but it doesn't mean that we cannot begin to make headway in those areas, to make up ground, to see improvements. There's nothing that says I don't adhere to the belief that says it's going to be bad. It has to get bad next time. I do know that at some point, evil is going to at least temporarily win. But again, it doesn't have to be this time. I can tell you it will be this time if those who care about truth, those who know the truth, sit by and do nothing, convincing themselves, buying into the lie that it doesn't matter, it doesn't make a difference. Well, how do we think we got here? I mean, I would contend that we got here through a lot of things had to happen to get here. But one of the things at the center of it is apathy, or buying into the lie that I have no power as an individual. Certainly, I'm not implying that we can all individually, have enough political power like a governor or some such thing. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is if you look at when great things have happened through history, there was usually a group of people, sometimes a very tiny group of people, usually a tiny group of people, sometimes even down to a single individual. And the match was struck and the flame was ignited and the fuel was applied to the flame and it began to spread and grow and become accepted. This has happened in U.S. history. It's happened in other parts of the world as well. In fact, I'm reminded this again. I don't want to get into this specifically because I haven't followed it to the point where I know everything that's going on. But I don't know if you followed this revival, this church service that's happening in Asbury, Kentucky. If you haven't, check it out. I mean, there's definitely some interesting things that's happening there, and it's a church service now that's been going on for a very, very prolonged period of time. And who's to say that cannot spread? What would keep it from spreading? Maybe that's the question. What would keep it from spreading? Isn't the nature of those things to spread to the next person? Imagine if you've been to a candlelight service at Christmas Eve, for example, and you light your candle. When you take your candle and pass it to the next person, the only way it doesn't get lit is if you don't do your part and the other person doesn't engage with you, doesn't allow it to be ignited. So really, by default, these things naturally want to be ignited and to spread in a good way. We're just the conduits. Let your light shine. I'm always struck by that. I don't want to get preachy today, but let your light shine. That's what we're ordered to do, is to let our light shine. It's not make the light shine. It's let it shine, which to me almost implies to get the me out of the way that wants to keep it hidden or under the basket or who's afraid of what might happen or whatever, and just let it be. And friends, we have that sort of truth in this worldview, in this way of living. We are created. We are designed to live with freedom. That needs to be passed on and preserved for the next generation. And we have a role in that. And that can look like a lot of different things. I can't get into it specifically today. We've done this a few times in the past. Maybe we'll do it again. But it can look a lot of different ways for a lot of different people. But when the flame is passed to you, what are you going to do? Are you going to touch your candle wick to the flame or keep it on the under the box. Keep it in the box. Not pay attention to the flame being passed. It may seem tiny. It may seem insignificant. But a lot of tiny candles burning inside that sanctuary on Christmas Eve service, if you've ever been, lights up the room, my friends. And we can do the same thing. And I think that that is what our role is. Passing on the truth. Whether the next person you pass it on to is a child, a family member, a neighbor, a friend. Maybe there's lots of people to pass it on to. Some of you, it might involve running for office. And there might be a bigger flame that you're able to light, so to speak. But we've got to get involved. We got to quit having a defeatist mentality. We got to engage, or the game will be over. Now, fortunately, even with, and I'm always mesmerized by this too, if you look back at American history and you look at the three groups of people that there were when this country went to revolt, went to fight for its freedom against England, there were people who wanted to fight for liberty. There were people who just were on the side of the crown, the British. And then there were people who said, just leave me alone. Now, I'm oversimplifying this, but it was roughly a third, a third, and a third. Roughly a third, a third, and a third. Or maybe more like 40, 40, 20. But I'm just ballparking it. So there were people that were wholeheartedly in favor of fighting for the revolution. There were people who said, leave me alone. And there were people who even said, we want to stay on the side of the British, of the king. And yet we prevailed with a third of the people. Two out of three were in opposition in some way to that movement. Yet here we are today. It doesn't take as much as we think. The invitation to get involved is right before all of us. What will we do with it? Quick time out, my friends. Back in just a minute. Welcome back, my friends. I would say that that is my message to you all, to myself, to anyone that will listen, is that yes, the stakes are high. Yes, we have a lot hanging in the balance here in America today. Yes, we got a lot of negative things happening, but there is a lot to be hopeful for. People are waking up. People are smelling the coffee. They are smelling the roses. And I just happen to believe that we all have people in our lives that we can persuade to believe and to hear and to receive that truth. So I told you, and I got to do this really quickly. I told you off the top or earlier in the program, I had a story that I think you might enjoy. It's going to be quick. So many of you know, if you've listened to the program, that we are embarking upon the Truth Tour. That's the part of this process for us where we travel the country as we begin to syndicate in new markets, begin to expand into other new markets in the future, looking to, you know, to speak and to meet people, network, and just grow this thing in every conceivable way that we can think of. And so in order to do that, we travel with the fifth wheel. We had our fifth wheel wrapped. Now, you know, meaning that we had a big vinyl decal put around the fifth wheel with our new logo, by the way. And so anyway, I told my wife, I said, we are going to get flipped off in this thing. I think we'll get a lot of honks and lots of thumbs ups. It really looks good, by the way. And I can say that because I didn't have anything to do with it. It was our designer and the folks that put this thing together. But I got my first bird yesterday. Before I even got the thing home, I got my first bird somewhere about, I'd say, 20 minutes from where I took off from. And it wasn't just any bird. It was an angry bird. It was the kind of bird where the guy, bald guy, lots of anger. All he saw was the logo, conservative, not bitter. And he's leaning over his seat, frothing at the mouth, extending the finger, turning, not just, you know, out of his periphery. He's turning. And it was to the right. I think his head was turning to the right simply by passing the vehicle. But nonetheless, that's what we got a dose of, or I got a dose of last night. Entertain me to no end, by the way. Timeout's in order, though, my friends. Sit tight. Back in a minute. I want to take a moment here to welcome those who are listening in Dallas, Salt Lake City, Knoxville, Tennessee, and Denver. Sorry, I forgot which one I did not say there. Welcome you no matter where you're listening, whether you're listening on Red State Talk Radio, Freedom 95, which is home base here in Indianapolis, or, of course, on the podcast through the website, toddhuffshow.com/listen. We just are happy to have you here. If you miss episodes of this program, never fear. You can go to download a podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or visit toddhuffshow.com/listen. It's a good thing to do over the weekend, but I've got to go, folks. Thanks for listening. SDG.